the night time. Don't have to say too much to get into this next interview, because the basic fact of it is that it was all over the top of the news a few days ago. This was the WikiLeaks release of information suggesting that the CIA might have the capability of listening to you via your television set or your smartphone. I run all of this past the Gadget Detective from GadgetDetective.com, the one and only Fevzi Turkalp.
WikiLeaks have published almost 9,000 documents that appear to come from the CIA. It details their wide range of hacking tools. It's an entire hacking toolkit that allows them to get into Windows computers, Android smartphones and tablets, Apple smartphones and tablets, Macs, Linux computers, and internet routers, as well as TV sets, it seems, as well. So there's a real big toolkit there. There's even a set of tools there that allow them to hack someone's computer and then make it look like a foreign government did it.
But unless I've got this wrong, they're not actually publishing how to do it, are they? They're just saying the capability's there.
There is a detailed descriptions of the capabilities, which machines are vulnerable, such as, you know, which types of Samsung TV sets are vulnerable to this. And they haven't published the code yet of these software tools, but I understand that that will happen once WikiLeaks have worked with the likes of Microsoft, Apple and Google to help them patch the vulnerabilities before they're published.
Now, you know, part of this is no big surprise. It wasn't to me, really. If you listen to people like the conspiracy theory broadcaster Alex Jones in America, he's been saying for a long time, at least a year, your television is spying on you. And, you know, for some of us, that is real tinfoil hat territory. But here we are, and here we are, and here we are, as Status Quo once sang. You know, it's happening.
Yeah, so what started out as you know, paranoid conspiracy theory is less so now. These capabilities clearly exist. The CIA are clearly not the only ones who have these capabilities. And therefore, there's two possibilities. One is if one is a high-value target that they will go after specifically, then that's one thing. The other thing is, you see, this gives them the ability to trawl for information and just see what turns up. And they have increasingly intelligent software that can then go through all the material that's been trawled, all the audio and video recordings, and use artificial intelligence to pull out things of interest that then require human attention.
I was a little sorry and sad for Samsung, you know, who do undoubtedly a lot of good work. A lot of people use their phones and stuff. It kind of seemed to me that with so many companies developing similar things at the same time, it would be inconceivable if this can potentially happen with their televisions that it wouldn't happen with other televisions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Samsung probably targeted first because they were amongst the first to have this capability built into their TV. So these are the high-end Samsung TVs that have a microphone so that you can exert voice control over your TV, and a camera so that you can actually gesture in front of it and swipe and do the sorts of gestures that you might do on a tablet, for example. So some of that is available. Now, as microphones and cameras go into other TVs, but all sorts of other devices now. So we have this Internet of Things. All our you know, household appliances are increasingly Internet connected. Those things are very susceptible to this attack. One, because of their ubiquity, and also because the companies that produce domestic appliances don't have decades of experience in securing them on the Internet. Right. And that's a problem. And I'd like to mention one other thing for you, if I may. Something that a lot of people haven't touched on, which is really interesting, is that it appears from these documents that the CIA was trying to find ways to infect cars and other vehicles' computer control systems. So, you know, we have not only self-driving cars, but we have cars that have the ability to park themselves and so forth. Now, there are claims that they may have been using it for investigating how to commit an undetectable assassination. In other words, to take over the control of a vehicle whilst it's being driven and crash it in order to kill the occupants.
My God. And look, there's a great big thing here. It may be the elephant in the room for all that I know, but the fact that the CIA are doing this, well, you know, we have to believe, and, you know, many of us do believe that they would be using these things if they were using them to try and trap bad guys, stop terrorist attacks and all the rest of it. problem is, the fact that we now know about this means that they were not very good at keeping all of this secret.
No, and that I think, bears some serious thought and scrutiny by democratic governments and whatever oversight these sorts of organizations have. Because, first of all, you have to ask the moral question of, is it moral that you know about a security flaw in a commonly used piece of equipment, such as an iPhone, for example, but you don't inform the manufacturer so they can fix it? Because you may say, okay, the CIA is benign and they will act in our best interest, even if you believe that's always the case. If the CIA know about this vulnerability, then there will be other governments and other non-governmental players who also know about it. And by not telling the companies, the CIA is effectively putting us at risk by being hacked by others. So there is that question. Then there is a second question. Even if you think it's moral to develop and store these tools, what is your checklist to go through once all this stuff leaks, which it will inevitably leak? At some point, this stuff comes out. The FBI, had its information leaked from the inside, as we know, and now the CIA and others will follow. So should they not, instead of saying we don't talk about security matters when asked if these is really genuinely their toolkit, should they not have a system whereby they're talking to all the major companies now to help patch up the damage that they've caused?
Well, that's very, very crucial, I would have thought, to all of this. You know, there are two levels of this, and we've hinted at this, and in other conversations we have as well. There is the so-called Internet of Things, which is your kettle, your microwave, for all I know, your lavatory, everything connected together to the Internet to be more controllable. Whoopee, isn't that great? And, of course, the big infrastructure items like power stations and stuff like that. Now, the problem with all of this is that if the good guys know how to get into these systems and start manipulating them, then that's one thing. But if, as you said, somebody outside also gets into those systems, then we are looking at a very, very serious situation. Imagine, for example, if the power grid was taken down.
Yeah. And that's absolutely possible. It's possible to either take down a power station or to take down all the smart meters that are going in at the moment to cut off supply to either individuals or whole areas by just attacking all the smart meters. So that's very much possible. So the cyber warfare takes place on many levels. So you've got the utilities and the infrastructure of those, and then, as we've seen asserted recently, they have the ability to interfere with the functioning of democracies as well. And you can actually sink a Western democracy into turmoil by interfering with its democracy. I think we've heard a lot about what's happened in America in this way. Watch this space for the elections that are coming up in Germany and France. And every time there is a leak of some candidate having been involved in something that he or she should not have been, ask yourself the question, where did that information come from? And who would benefit from that information being public?
Yes, very much interesting question. Is the answer then for us individuals, us poor people caught in the middle of this great big cyber chess game, to tape up the microphone on the telly, to disconnect the kettle from the internet, and to turn off the computer and turn off the broadband whenever we're not using it? Is that the way to do it? If you hide from it, and maybe that can be extended to governments as well, they can have a policy. If you move away from it all a little, then perhaps you can be safe, yes?
Yeah, you can never be safe. That's the first thing. But what you can do is take measures to reduce the risk to you. And in doing that, you have to have a think about what profile you represent and who might be interested in you. If you're a journalist, for example, you may be of higher interest than if you don't do anything that's sort of high profile. So you have to think about that. In terms of things that you can do, look, there's no perfect solution to this. But if you think about the webcam that is built into your TV or more commonly into your laptop, for example, a piece of black tape over the webcam will work a treat. It's a very low-tech solution, but it's a good one. Microphones are harder to obfuscate. You can try things like BluTac, but they don't do much more than muffle the sound. So you can do things like that. consider using some of the less popular antivirus products. And one of the things we learned from this CIA leak was that they had developed attacks against the popular antivirus products, and that's long since been my suspicion that that they'd found ways around that. And then unplug the things that you can unplug when you're not using them. So, for we mentioned, those boxes you can speak to, like the Echo or the Google Home. Those devices don't rely on the button that says it's turned off the microphones. Physically unplug it. The problem is that as microphones and cameras are built into more and more appliances, that becomes harder. I mean, are you going to unplug your fridge freezer when you want to have a private conversation?
Well, not if I don't want my spaghetti bolognese to go off. That's exactly. The problem, isn't it?
I suppose you could send the bill to the CIA, but I suspect you wouldn't get very far.
I mean, you know that the internet and YouTube and Facebook are great repositories of information, but also repositories of some trash. There is a video doing the rounds about one of these devices you talk to, and the person says, can you define for me the CIA? And the very posh female voice says, the CIA is an intelligence agency based in the United States, whatever. And the final question is, are you connected to the CIA now? And the device goes silent. I mean, that sounds like a joke. And until a few days ago, I would have laughed my socks off. Now I'm thinking, is that for real? Is there something really going on here?
I favor the theory that as with many other questions you can ask these devices, sometimes they do go silent rather than say they don't understand.
Well, they usually go silent when I say, Howard Hughes, broadcaster, tell me all about him. And we tried this together, didn't we, with Alexa? And Alexa knew nothing. Not that she should or anybody should, but it just goes to show, to Alexa, I'm a complete non-entity.
To be frank, Howard, I think that says more about Alexa than it says about you.
Well, that's very kind of you, Fevzi. It's very nice of you to dig me out of that one. It's a very worrying world, Fevzi. Just quickly, what do you think that Mr. Trump and Mrs. May and Mr. Putin, if he's interested in all these things and reads the papers, what should they be doing now? Should they be talking to their security services and saying, you need to sharpen up your act or what?
I mean, obviously this is not good because if WikiLeaks, if Julian Assange is to be believed, he says that this information came from an air-gapped computer system within the CIA, and he pointed out that there was a facility within the consulate in Frankfurt, and it suggested it came possibly from that facility. Now, the thing is, if an air-gapped computer system is a system that's not connected to the outside world. It may be an individual computer or a network of computers, but as a whole, it's insulated from the outside world, which means that if that is true, then the most plausible explanation of how this information got out is that it was leaked by someone in the CIA or a contractor, and we saw that with the FBI and Snowden. Maybe they need to look at their contractors' policy. But I still think that the more important question is they should assume that at some point, if they develop these weapons, that at some point that these weapons will leak out. And they need to think about whether it is wise to hold such weapons. Don't forget, you see, to use these weapons, even if you store them on an insulated air gap system that's not attached to the internet, to use these weapons, they have to be on the internet. They have to travel through the internet and infect someone else's computer. And at that point, they have lost control of it. It is possible for someone to capture it, identify it, modify it, and use it. And that's the problem. And in fact, some of the tools that the CIA have that were leaked out were captured from foreign governments and used and co-opted for their own purposes. So they know, as well as we now know, that it's impossible to really secure these weapons. So they need to ask themselves, either should we be holding it? Is it responsible? It's like having, dangerous nuclear material that you can't keep under control. If you can't control it, should you instead try and push for some sort of moratorium? But it's difficult because no one will admit that they're doing it.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk radio. For those about to talk, we salute you.